Welcome to Garage Media Junkies. Welcome back to the Century of Nonsense. We're on the episode number 18, if I'm not wrong.
I think you're right, yeah.
No, 17.
17? Yeah, we're 17.
I tried to get closer to 100 jumping one, but...
83 more to go.
Thank you for listening. This week we're going to talk about new trailers and all the movies on April. And in front of me, it's our lovely, lovely, sexy boys, Chris Espinosa.
Hi there. How's everybody going?
I know you touch yourself. Listen to this.
Oh, my God. Please don't.
By the way.
Unless you're my wife.
By the way, explicit tag is on the podcast, so be aware. If you get offended for that joke, then I recommend that you shoot down this and go, I don't know. Can get a walk around the neighborhood or something. But yeah, that's where we're going to talk. We're going to thank you for our last junkie guest. If you didn't hear that one, you should go. Number 16 last week. It was a fun one. I hear the whole thing and I was still cracking up for a few jokes in our long, long, long goodbye at the end.
Always a long sign off.
There you go. Sign off. So how have you been doing, Chris?
I've been doing well. I've been off on spring break this week.
There you go. Spring break.
From work. So it's been a good media intake.
Just picture that face on our podcast face.
Oh, no.
Just picture it with no shirt, Nancy like crazy and some beach on Cancun or something.
Oh my God. I mean, in the words of my brother, I like haunt his house with my whiteness. He's like, don't ever take your shirt off. Yeah, you're so white. So no, I'd probably get banned from the beaches. no, yeah, it's been really good. Started Iron Fist. Ooh. And watched a few movies with my wife that we kind of had in the back catalog. So yeah, it's been really good.
There you go.
What about you?
Some Mexico time and TJ. So don't start thinking they went like super exciting vacation. TJ is not like that. Well, Rosarito is close, so you can argue I can do that. But nope, just a little bit of family, resting a little bit. I'm a boring person. So much going on.
Yeah. This is the most exciting spring break I've had. This is the most social I've been. I went out like 5 out of the 7 days.
And I'm already
I was off.
Exhausted. See, that's the reason we do these podcasts. So we don't see people, but still we somehow interact with people.
Right, because, you know, I mean, I don't know if you, Caroline, my wife, sent you that text where it was like, you know, me listening to podcasts.
All right.
And it was like that person sitting next to like this billboard of other people laughing and he was laughing too. That's how you really imagine podcasts, that you feel like you're in on all of our jokes, but it's really just me and Hugo sitting
here. Exactly. Hoping that maybe somebody will get our jokes. But anyways, let's just jump into our topic today. And we're going to start with the trailers. They're not a lot. And probably the most interesting one is the Eat trailer.
Stephen King's It.
So we're going to start, I think, with that one because apparently it's the one we're going to spend the most time. And just because something that caught my attention with that one is how much of almost like shot by shot, you know, looks like the original trailer.
Right.
And for those listening, if you're really young, you know, Stranger Things is not like the thing that made create all these, you know, looks and stuff.
Right.
It's just like a Frankenstein of all those movies. But yeah, so a little bit of background. Eat, it's not even a movie. It was more like a serial TV movies.
Yeah, it was a TV miniseries back in 1990.
There we go. And it's, you know, if you get in depth, or if we go more in depth, it's a Stephen King novel. Probably a lot of you people out there know who is Stephen King, you know, famous for all those horror kind of suspense novels. So that's what all the inspiration come for this new version. It's just a new version, but yeah, it surprised me how well. I mean, a lot of people associate copying on a bad, you know, terms. But not necessarily. It's just I always think that it's a way to copy things. And I think they do it really great on this trailer. Like I say, some of them almost shot by shot. And then introducing, you know, the new style, which I love it. I love it. It looks so great. Looks scary. And I think they're going to respect the source, but also adding, you know, new stuff, you know, and those. Because even the original clown is, this is not like the most amazing on the technical aspect. You know, it's a guy with makeup and that's just scary.
Right. You know, it plays into people's phobias and fears on clowns. I mean, I remember when the trailer dropped, I wanted to watch it. My wife wouldn't even let me see it.
Don't dare you.
Yeah. She's like, don't you dare. And I was like, well, I just want to look at it. She's like, don't you dare. And it's because, you know, clowns paralyze her that much. So, I mean, even though I look at the trailer and I kind of laughed at some parts, not because it was funny in any way, but just because it's just like, that's not what I find scary.
Right.
But the way that this trailer was set up, it mimics the first one almost to a T, but with more of the technological advancements that we're able to give it. But
that's a good use of technology, you know, when they use to enhance, not to just to put it for the sake of, oh, I can do this. You know, like they don't even try to, even in the makeup or the custom, you know, it's a more simpler one, a minimalistic, you know, on too much white on the, too much white on the custom, but that's it. I mean, yeah, it's nothing crazy.
Right.
Maybe some of the features on the face are probably enhanced with all these visual effects, but that's it. And if you didn't watch it yet, you should go. But what do you think is going to go with this movie? Because pretty much at this point, a lot of people know how it's going to end and how it's going to develop the whole story.
How I think it's going to develop?
No, I mean, yeah, how's going to be the movie in general just based on the trailer?
Oh, I definitely think it's going to be like a slow burner at start, and they'll do the Jaws thing where they won't show you Pennywise. For those of you that don't know, that's what the clown's name is Pennywise. They won't show him too much. And like you saw at the very end of the trailer where they were looking at the projector whatever was happening, you were slowly. I think we'll get slow reveals. I hope it's more of a, again, more explicit, but I hope it's more of a mind fuck of a film rather than just a jump scare.
Right.
Which is the whole point of the movie, which was this clown is, you know, kidnapping children one by one and people in the town. And already scary enough, but I want more of that, I guess, thriller aspect of it than I just want a normal horror flick.
And I think that you get that vibe, especially for these kids, you know, it's a big resemble of the Goonies.
Yeah.
Another, you know, cult movie. And I think that's what happened because they're scared, but they want to know what the fuck is going on. Like, they even show, like, oh, this is where this thing hides. Because, again, the clown is just a representation of, because at the end of the day, it's a monster. It's not, that's the reason the name It is not the clown. It was just how one of the representation of this monster thing.
Right.
So far, what I hear is sexually, it's going to be two movies.
This is?
There's going to be one when they're kids.
And one when they're adults.
When they're adults, which I think that was the whole deal with the mini series. You know, there were like three or two. So, I don't know. I'm at least kind of excited. Kind of want to see it, actually.
Right, because, I don't know, for me, growing up, I remember people when they talked about, and I'm talking about growing up, I'm 8 to 10. Or 11 around there. So around, you know, end of elementary, middle school, people would always be talking about Chucky. They would talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Exorcist. But It would always sneak into that top three on people's, and they would always talk about It. And I remember as a kid, my parents wouldn't really let us watch a lot of those things. Yeah. So when I did see It, I remember thinking, like, that's it?
Exactly.
No pun intended, but, really? You know, that's it. That's what it is.
Or like when people get scared in real life with clowns. Like, you know, I mean, the guy's really happy. There's nothing to be scared of.
Right. But I don't know. All the other ones, I can justify a point. So, again, the way this trailer or this movie looks like it's shot, it looks to capitalize more on that fear and even scare those that are, like Hugo and I, which aren't scared of clowns. Yeah. So, hopefully, that's what I'm hoping for out of this film, that I can at least get somewhat afraid or get some sort of cheap thrill out of it.
I feel more like it's gonna be like a cool reveal, but I don't think they're gonna make me feel scared of clowns.
Oh no, not at all.
I don't think so.
No, that's like, not gonna change that.
Who knows? But I don't think so. But anyways, that's probably the big one. It. We have also the sequel to Al Gore documentary, an inconvenient sequel.
I really didn't believe him that this was a thing.
Yeah, me neither, until I saw YouTube and like, this April's, you know, fool's joke or something. But no, apparently it's a real thing. A little parenthesis in here. You can go to the AMC YouTube channels. And I didn't confirm this, but just seeing it, I know it's April's first, you know, joke. They hint to a Grand Theft Auto TV series. I mean, TV show. And they have a trailer, which seems really fake.
Okay, because that's not
a real
thing.
I mean, even the production value, it's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think AMC will drop the quality if it was real, you know.
Right.
My idea is just an April's first joke or whatever.
Yeah, just in case you're wondering, Hugo and I are recording this on April 1st. So
yeah.
But no, the Inconvenient sequel, that one shocked me a little bit. I remember when The Inconvenient Truth, which was its predecessor, came out, and it was very divided, the audience reception. Either they got really scared or they kind of like laughed it off.
They trumped it. Where are you? We need some global warming in Arkansas because it's winter.
Yeah. The trailer starts off with Trump being Trump and does not bode well. I mean, the trailer is... I guess, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's better put together than I would have ever thought it would have been. So, I mean, credit where credit's due. But
I think I feel off. It's like maybe it's a coincidence, but it's a political documentary. I mean, it touched that. It's kind of like taking advantage of what's going on right now with Trump. So,
like a nice.
You know, it's like, kind of like an excuse, all the global warming problem and all this stuff to, you know, bash Trump, which I'm fine. They can bash it as much as they want, but it just seems like force.
Well, again, I mean, maybe for those of you that listened last week, thank you for listening. This is just like we talked about with Christian. If you're looking to make some sort of a change, why not use media as a platform? And right now, if Trump is planning on cutting a lot of that funding, what better way than to kind of bring it back to the forefront of the nation again than with another.
I mean, I know by fact it's going to happen, but right now you should be concerned about all the internet and social media, what's going on. And if you don't read news, which you should, not a lot because then it gets too depressing, but I feel like this one is important. The congressman passed a bill where allows the you know, internet providers to sell your browse.
Yeah, your browsing history.
You just need Obama. I wish it was Obama. Trump's signature to pass the bill, which I know it's going to happen, you know, due to Trump mentality. But anyways, maybe actually we can talk about this a little bit more at the end because interesting. Because, you know, these days we use the internet a lot. But anyways, that's the other one, an Inconvenient sequel. I'm not going to watch it. Maybe when come on.
It's something my wife would watch. And then if she deemed it worthy, she would come out and she'd be like, okay, I'm ready to rewatch it with you. So, and if it doesn't pass her standard of quality, I won't ever watch it. Nope.
I don't know. Again, it's just, maybe it's me. When documentaries like these happen, it's just like, kind of like what with the first one, you know, he did the whole documentary and then he did also Al Gore make this big ass concert. And they throw all the statistics of how much fuel and how much contribute to contamination with all that big ass concert. I don't know. I just feel off. But maybe, I mean, it's fine. It's kind of like to remind us that we should be careful. I mean, all the data is there.
Yeah.
And I think the main goal for this is that part of Trump cutting all the funds.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that it was very, very. It's too coincidental to Trump taking over power and getting ready to cut off.
Right. And I'm not diminishing that fact. It's like, it's a big deal.
Right.
So, anyways, probably you're going to have fun. The last one was an animated one. It's called Ferdinand. It's a bull. Right? That's the animal. Bull.
The bull?
Yeah.
A toro?
There you go. A toro. It's considered like a dangerous beast. Put it away out of family. He gets all depressed and sad. And he will come up with a group of misfits to come back to his family. Kind of like Nemo story kind of thing. I think John Cena is...
No, he can't be.
Hey, a lot of people kind of don't give him credit. He's kind of funny sometimes.
He's kind of like that intense funny.
Yeah, true.
But he's tried those action movies and hasn't fared too well. Work.
He didn't work that well like with Dwayne Johnson. But, I mean, that's another interesting animated movie if you want to watch. Since I feel like these last animated movies aren't being as big. But I don't know. Anyways, that's all our trailers.
So wait, so you're saying that the animated movies aren't as big?
I mean, like, it's not getting as much. I'm not getting that excited for animated movies in a while.
I think it's because we've been our market's been flooded since the technology is easier to kind of replicate and make, and now it's no longer this, I guess, technological advancement to see something like Toy Story on the screen, and we get flooded from things like. Do you ever remember the movie Hoodwinked?
No.
It's like this really crappy, shitty movie on our like Grimm's Fairy Tales and stuff, and so, and they made several sequels about it, and they're all shit, and they're all crap, but you get flooded with those or cheap knockoffs of something trying to imitate Disney. So, I guess at least for me, and I can't speak for you, but I kind of turn a blind eye, and everything just kind of blends together. So unless when the trailer shoved in my face and I have some emotional reaction to it, then I'll be like, oh, okay, that might be worth seeing. But other than that, it's just white noise that I kind of see around me. Too many animated movies have just been bombs for me to think like, oh, this is going to be great. Right.
The last one that kind of caught my attention, what was the name? Kubo or something? And Kubo and the Strings or something?
Yeah.
With, I think it was Matthew McConaughey, one of the characters, like doing the voice. Because they mix, you know, like the technology with traditional animation.
Stop animation and stuff, which is great, but it's still not enough to bring people into the seats. So those movies don't make as much money,
right?
Especially when they're not attached to Disney, and even Disney recognizes that the market's flooded. So a lot of their princess movies or big movies are now live action. Like look at your Beauty and the Beast, your Jungle Book remakes. How many animated movies have they pumped out in the last 5 years?
I wish Disney would keep doing 2D animation.
It would be a good retro throwback.
They were like masters doing that. So,
during the Renaissance phase, but they totally ate crow when they came out with a bunch of their sequels. Like, I mean, really, did you think that Pocahontas 2 or Mulan 2 or any of the other Snow Whites 2, Aladdin 3, were those gems? No, they were absolutely horrible movies.
Well, it's because they pushed those storylines too much, where like
there wasn't a story.
Yeah, I mean, it was done.
The movies were fine as is.
Yeah, it will be come back. It will be vintage, and then there's gonna have a market, and they're gonna do it again. But those are the new few trailers. It's not a lot.
Yeah, we're in that lull period right before we're gonna have an explosion in May.
I can wait for the trailer for the new Star Wars. I feel like any moment they're gonna throw it.
The Last Jedi.
Which, I don't know, you can interpret, you know, have an interpretation. There's so many interpretations for that title.
Too many. I think we'll get our trailer after Disney unveils it at their D23, is sometime in spring. So we'll get it, I think, early summer. We'll get a nice trailer.
We're going to have a special podcast.
Oh, boy.
We got lightsabers. I'm going to have a rope. I'm going to pretend. Should go to a movie theater one day like that.
Did you see? I mean, Hugo and I just watched a movie today. We're going to talk about it next week. But you see how many times they checked the door in our movie theater?
Oh, yeah.
I counted. It was 6. The guy checked our door. So if you wore a hood into this movie theater, I don't. And there's no Star Wars to go see. Yeah. You get the red light in your face.
Right. I'm not Mexican. I can prove it. Well, anyways, after a little adventure on the movie theater. Yeah, now that you mention it, the guy was really insistent.
Yeah, he was checking over and over again.
Bomb! Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, yeah, no. Hopefully you never be in that situation. Or us, at all.
Right.
But we're going to talk about the important things. April movies, which is kind of like... Woo-hoo! It's kind of like okay. But I feel after this one, May is kind of like the month they start all the big movies for the rest of the year.
It's our summer extravaganza.
And the only reason I say that is because the Fate of the Furious is there.
No.
So it's not going to have any competition. It's pretty much they give him the make him the favor, like, all right, you have April. Do as much money you can. You don't need to compete with the other big movies.
Right, and I guess that's a smart move by them because they know it's going to be a big movie.
Yeah.
But I think they're afraid it's not as strong as the previous one, and they just want to rake in as much as they can. So they wanted zero competition.
Yeah.
Rake in what they can. It's going to die off in a week and a half, and then May's going to take off.
At least for me, these franchises start losing my interest. Well, it's been a few movies. This can happen gradually, almost like Resident Evil. But somehow they deliver like the action part, and that's the only part that kind of interests me a little bit. What was Evans?
Luke Evans.
That's the other part. It was like, all right, I want to watch that one just because, he's guy isn't there. But this one is like, it was like the most obvious step they could do. And the funny thing is they already did this before, like with one of the characters dying and come to life or being
the bad guy.
Yeah,
it was Letty.
Being the bad guy. Now Toretto is the bad guy.
And I'm sorry for busting in here. I have recently just watched these movies. My wife and Christian, who you all met last episode, have been pushing this so hard. And I have fought this since I was a freshman in high school when the original Fast and Furious came out. I hate it. There's no special place in my heart for Vin Diesel or The Rock or any of these other characters. Okay. I don't care.
You don't even find one that you feel related in some way?
Yeah, Han. The Asian guy. Asian at all, anybody, but I really like that character.
And they just
he's dead. No, they kill him in the third one. Spoiler alert on that one, guys. And then they bring him back for the other ones because, spoiler alert, it's all happening before the third one. And then I gotta watch him die again because I forgot that he died.
Right.
And I don't know. To me, I've made it up to six.
Yeah.
I've watched all of them through six, except for four. For some reason, Christian and Caroline screamed that one from me. They said that it's totally garbage, and I didn't get to see it. Either way,
it's any of these like great movies, anyways. you can imagine how bad it is.
Your Luke Evans one.
Yeah,
that's the one where they it's the whole runway scene at the end.
I think so.
In the airplane,
yeah.
The only thought running through my head was, this is a 25-minute chase down a runway. This is the longest effing runway I've ever seen in the world.
No way in the real world happened that he come out of the airplane and then he's alive.
They must have turned around like three times on that runway with the jets. Either way, this film, you're right. They've already gone over this with Letty coming back after she was supposedly shot. Again, happened in the fourth one. Didn't see it happen, so I was really confused. But with, I don't know, with Vin Diesel being evil, obviously something's up. I don't know what the big pull is. I watch this whole thing. I really don't see it, guys.
Charlize, my theory with, more like a hypothesis, I hate when people say theory, because a theory should be already tested and kind of like a proof. But anyways, I'm not going to argue about those two terms because we're not a science podcast at all. But anyways, my idea is that Charlize Theron has come back, and I think it's some part of the trailer sort of to is, you know, you can tell that they know each other from before. So what I'm thinking is Toretto kind of owns a favor or something to her, and that's, you know, what I got him or something like that.
I guess that's my problem with it is you can this franchise is notorious for retroactively changing the past and saying like, oh no, this has always been there.
We complain about X-Men.
Oh, you know what? They have an excuse. It's called time travel.
Yeah, exactly.
Vincent Diesel does not have time travel in his car.
Who knows? Maybe in the 90s.
Oh,
when
God.
Anyways.
The Fast and the Furious in the past.
Travel time.
Can't do that. There's no more Paul Walker.
Yeah, true. But anyways, yeah, like you're saying, just this franchise. It's kind of like the BMX superhero version movie kind of thing.
Wasn't that XXX? Another Vin Diesel movie?
Yeah, but I think it didn't work.
I'm sorry for throwing so much shade at him. I really don't get it. You and Christian are the only two guys I know.
I mean, it's not like I love them. I can sit and watch them and like just think in my head, remember, this is not a great movie. It's just to You know, let your brain rest and have something to digest this so easily, and that's it, you know? Kind of like that. Kind of like become a zombie now. And then you watch, and it's fine. But yeah, it's not much. I mean, the first one was just the premise. I mean, if I put all this stuff on the side, like, it was a cool idea, you know, the racing cars. Because even it wasn't, they weren't like cop. Well, yeah, one was cop.
Paul Walker, but
it was more about the culture of the street racing and stuff.
Right.
But that's it.
Now we've gone from street racer to undercover to Tokyo drifting to, I don't know what the fourth one was about, but then we go to bank robbing, I guess heisting, and on the run.
To becoming the good guy. So how in the hell did that happen?
Right. I guess you can only have so much empathy for these people before you're like, no, no, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah, and I think that part of the success, I guess, is they put The Rock in there, and then having Vin Diesel and The Rock, like, all right, that's a new interaction in the group. But even it's not even that a strong interaction to justify it, like, oh yeah, this is a great movie at all.
They keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and you have to remember where these people came from, which was street racing in L.A.
Yeah.
Like
nothing of that is in these movies at all.
None of these skills of hacking and wall scaling and driving your car from building to building. No, they just race on the street really well. Yeah. By the way, we can also pull giant safes out of walls, pull off really intricate heists off the Brazilian government.
Right.
No, my suspension of belief is gone, and I never use that. But those movies test me to my limit. I hate it so much.
It's kind of like, oh, I learned some like tutorials on YouTube about coding, and now I can hack like heist,
No, American. Let's pull Ludacris in here. Ludacris is really good at this stuff, even though he was not good at this stuff at all. He was just another driver in number two.
Yeah, he wasn't like they never mentioned any skills of this.
If he did, he was a mechanic as well, which they all are, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm now an expert safe man.
Yeah, I can hack any system secure in the world.
It also bothers me too that when he's in the car and he pulls up next to them, that a Ludacris song is playing on his radio. I'm sorry. Nope.
You have a big ego, man. Chill out. You can use all the rappers. They're a lot. And probably better than you. So, fuck you. Yeah, what's the other guy?
Tyrese.
Tyrese. I hate that guy. I feel like if they remove that character...
This is just a shit fest right now. Just shitting on it.
But if we remove that guy from the movie, it's fine. Nothing happened. We don't miss anything. But anyways.
You could do that for most of the characters. They're really contrived plots and stuff, so you really only go because you enjoy watching Vin Diesel, good cars, hot women.
And some action scenes. By the way, they're not the best action scenes you're ever going to see.
Right, but other than that, you watch it because you have this, it's a nostalgia point.
Yeah, it's kind of like attachment already.
Yeah, so this movie has more movies than Harry Potter at this point.
Yeah, I know.
If that gives anybody any indication of what kind of madness we're witnessing.
Well, it's what the public wants, you know. They're going to get tired, but it surprised me how long they've been going.
I don't understand this franchise.
But anyways, we're not going to keep going because probably you're going to put like 1-star reviews and we don't want that.
I mean,
so we're going to stop right there.
They're like, I love Vin Diesel. How dare you?
Yeah, I love you, Vin Diesel. He seems like a good guy, though.
Yeah.
In real life. So anyways. Yeah, we're not going to watch The Fate of the Furious, but it's April, and probably you're going to go and watch it, so don't listen to us. Just spend the money and whatever you want. Just hopefully every time you, like, when you go and watch it, have our little voices telling you all this in your brain when you're watching.
Why are you watching Vin Diesel? This is not a good movie. Either way, yeah, moving on. One of the movies that Hugo... put on the list that I had never heard about but got super interested of was Wonder.
Yeah.
You want to kind of talk about Wonder here?
Yeah, it seems like they've been working on this movie for a while. For some reason, doesn't come out before yet or finish it before. I think it's been like 5 years working on this. And it's Julia Roberts. What's the other one?
Owen
Wilson's there. The kid... Also, I can't remember his name. I'm going to look it right now. But he's been in a few movies, too. But it seems like the premise is this kid has some sort of deformation on his face.
Facial deformation. So It's nothing too extreme. I mean, I've seen some screenshots of what's happening. It just kind of seems like some weird stretching of his face and drooping. Nothing like, do you remember that one movie Mask with Cher? Nothing like that where he's got like kind of the elephantitis. It's just a mild facial deformation.
Almost like a burn, like a light burn.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
His face isn't symmetrical and it kind of like one half sits a little bit lower and is elongated. Really good prosthetics because I don't think the kid actually looks like that. But it's about him just trying to kind of fit in.
Yeah. Just like the typical, you know, already the, you know, schools and, you know, going to a school and not being sort of popular is tough. Now imagine, you know, having those kind of problems, like being, having those physical deformities is, it's way tougher.
Yeah.
So I think that's the premise. And then probably has these, either teacher, like probably Julia Roberts is the mom and Owen Wilson's the teacher.
Right.
And they try to help him. So it seems like a cool story about, you know, the normal, you know, going, destroy your fears and keep moving, even when you have some
obstacles.
Barriers and obstacles,
Yeah.
So, and the only reason I told Chris is because, you know, he's
worked with kids
and he, he probably knows better than anybody else how hard for kids sometimes is.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
It had a good line in the trailer, too, where, you know, he, I'm the same as everybody else on the inside, but it's really hard to blend in when you don't look like everyone else. And it's beyond just skin and what you were born with. It's just something that nobody recognizes and can. And so, and to me, it's going to be one of those. It's either going to be a tearjerker movie or it's going to be so phoned in, nobody's really going to connect with it, which I'm afraid of because it's a really great premise. And it looks like he wears like an astronaut helmet to kind of hide his face.
Cool aspect.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you know, it means like kind of like you're the, you go to a different planet and you're, you know, you're behind this helmet discovering this world around you.
Yeah, you're not safe enough to brave the elements. Yeah. It's a suit. It's a barrier. Yeah, and I'm gonna assume that it comes off as he's ready to come out and kind of brave the world. So great symbolism.
Yep,
it was a book. That's the thing too. It was a book, and so that's why it's taken so long.
Yeah, I think that's been the problem. But I'm glad that it's coming out.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to see stupid Vin Diesel, and you want to watch some, you know, more deeper drama, seems like it's gonna be fun too.
Yeah.
As a comicity in there.
Yeah.
But that's one of the other ones. The other one is a slight. Slight, yeah.
As in a sleight of hand, so like tricks.
There you go. I'm not aware of those terms. My English is not really very good, Luke. So. But anyways, this story is like an African-American kid that has to do some magic tricks. It's never, at least when I watched the trailer, I didn't feel like they told you it's because he's doing some type of magic or if he has powers. It was never clear.
It looks like he's a street hustler, and he pulls off all these little sleight of hand tricks and stuff. So he makes his money that way. It seems like his parents are gone, so he's making money for his sister and himself and has protection over the gang.
Right.
From the gang, not of the gang, from the gang in his neighborhood to make sure that they're taken care of. It to me, it presents it like he has powers. It definitely shows that by about midpoint through the trailer that it's not just tricks that he's pulling and they're not strings or anything.
Right.
Obviously, ironically, produced by the WWE.
It was so funny seeing that. But I see them producing a few movies before.
Yeah.
But this is the first one that I look like, oh, okay, maybe this is going to be good.
I will agree with you. Yeah. This is one that doesn't look like it was...
The Marine and John Cena are just running.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, absolutely. You're like, oh, this was not a first-rate film.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have some cameos of some wrestlers. But it doesn't seem like...
I mean, they might have. I don't keep up with wrestlers today, so I have no idea who might have shown up already. But I'm sure that there are cameos.
They should.
I saw that WWE was on the TV in the gang boss's house in one of the scenes. Hmm. And so I was like, oh, well, there you go. There's your product placement for your own company.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put a lot of money.
It looks interesting. Great premise. Like Hugo said, there's a lot of production in it. And it's not terrible.
Right.
Not terrible at all. Definitely eye-catching. So, I mean, if you don't want to see The Fate of the Furious, this is a...
another good option.
Yeah, it's a great option if you're looking for something with more action in it.
And I'm glad I finally seen more of you know, the African-American portray as heroes and stuff. I mean, it is still the gang elements, but, you know, they haven't a chance. This could easily be a typical white boy, you know?
Right. I'm glad that they're taking chances and being a
especially
little bit more diverse.
Like the WWE. And they probably understand that more. You know, their franchise, like it or not, I'm not a big I used to watch them, but I'm not a big fan. But their audience is so broad. So they need to, obviously, thinking forward on those topics. But anyways, that's another good option for sure, especially if you like Magic. By the way, Magic doesn't exist. It's fake. So if you're a kid listening to this, so sorry. Which, probably if you're a kid, you shouldn't be listening to this. It's an explicit tag. So if you're listening to this, you're in trouble. I'm going to tell them to go to your mom. Anyways, we're going to jump to Born in China, which is a documentary about three animals in particular. Apparently what's the name of this zoologist? Like the person who's working on the zoos or...
Yeah, zoologists.
There you go. Yay!
He got
point,
one.
Point for me. They have these three animals they think they throw into the wild. And obviously they have names because, you know, being...
An orange monkey, a panda, and then a snow leopard are the three families.
Right. And I think the main thing of this documentary, I mean, I bet they're going to explain the story of these animals coming back to the wild and interacting... in the wilderness, but it's just how well shot. This is gorgeous.
Great cinematography, great landscape shots, yeah, like high definition cameras.
Your eyes are having an orgasm in front of them.
I swear, these films must take these guys at least a year to just go out and capture footage. There are so many beautiful shots.
The reactions is like, you know, I mean, you sometimes, maybe not. Like, for example, if sometimes I go to a zoo, even the gorillas are just sitting there. And it can pass like more than half an hour and they still they don't do much.
Right, and that's, you brought it up. I was having trouble wording it. Yeah. You need to have such patience when filming animals in their natural state and habitat, because you could be sitting there for a day and a half and nothing's really gone on, and then you get the shot you need. But if you're not there,
right,
you missed it.
And it's brutal condition. The weather is like freaking cold. Is the Himalayas or something?
But it's a great film. Again, Disney.
Yeah, exactly.
They always do this each year around Earth Day.
Right. And I mean, there are a few National Geographic documentaries out there, even their channel and stuff. But this is like, I never seen something like this before. I don't think so.
Disney always does something with the families and whatnot. But recent memory, if it serves me correctly, they've taken a lot of care to kind of restore their wild brand or their animal brand since all that publicity came out that they used to stage a few events. Yeah. So they've really had an overhaul in the last 5 years.
And I noticed in that pattern with this kind of content, especially with Netflix, a lot of people get into documentaries when Netflix starts streaming years ago. And now I have a thought that maybe... You know, a few years back, TV was kind of like the way a lot of people get educated. Now a lot of people is going to get educated through documentaries on that.
Right,
like the future or something like that.
Yeah.
But it looks gorgeous. And it seems like you're going to see some of the what these animals does in the wilderness, and normally you don't get caught on camera. So...
Right, because these are three endangered species of animals that are obviously endangered for a reason. Either they're hunted or China's ever-growing problems are encroaching on their habitats, and that's causing a lot of problems. And so, again, using media as a form to call to action, most of your ticket sales will go towards their wildlife conservation efforts.
Right.
To kind of help. So, I mean, obviously, it's a great cause. It's a great family film. John Kerensky is the narrator.
Mm.
And so he's going to be the one talking us through a lot of what we're seeing, which I like him as an actor. Yeah. Jim from The Office.
Right. I wish it was Morgan Freeman. But I guess everybody's getting tired.
He's done. Yeah, he's done several Disney films before where he's a narrator, and BBC.
Yeah. Like, why not? Even, I think, even some gameplays.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
So, yeah, probably, yeah, you're right. It's getting tight. It's getting boring, the same guy. But anyways, it's going to be a good one. If you like animals and good documentary and beautiful shots, this is your movie for April. And forget about stupid Fate of the Furious. Like, believe me, Vin Diesel doesn't look as gorgeous as those monkeys and pandas. Not even close. So the last one that we have for this month is Graduation. And that's a really heavy drama. They win Best Director for in Cannes. So that's something to say about it. And it's a foreign film supposed to be set on Transylvania.
Yeah, we had to look that up. I couldn't understand the dialect.
Yeah, yeah. It's really weird, but yeah. Now I understand why.
The basic premise of the film is father wants his daughter to get into a good university after she graduates, and she's got to take a test, like you have to overseas, kind of similar to the SATs that we have here in the States. Mm. Get a good enough grade to get into university. Right before she takes her test, she's assaulted. Doesn't really tell you what, but you can kind of draw the lines of that she was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And she's kind of shooken up, so she can't take the test. She can't focus. And so it kind of becomes this ever-evolving, tense drama of the dad trying to make sense of it all and trying to help his daughter. And his daughter's pushing further away, wanting to run away from that life and just kind of shut that all off. And so he's kind of being pulled and burned from both ends to try to save his family.
Well, and yeah, and I can totally relate. I mean, when you're a parent, you just want the best. And in your head, you make this plan that what's supposed to happen, but you don't have control of those situations, really.
And also, this is a not-so-great country. When I say not-so-great, I mean it's not the best conditions to grow up living in. And the dad even admits that, where he's like, she's not going to make it in where we live. This isn't a great place.
She needs to get out of here.
And that's his whole end goal.
Yeah.
I'd sacrifice myself, not a problem, but I will not have her sacrifice hers. He will die here in order to prove that she can get out and move somewhere else.
Kind of like the typical town girl to go to the city to have a better life thing.
Right.
And I think also the girl at some point, she started I'm tired of this. She don't know what to do. And then instead of, I'm going to do the test and pursue that, it's...
She pushes away from it, yeah.
Yeah, it's depressed, and it's like, no, maybe I'm destined to, maybe be a naughty girl and be with the motorcycle guy and throw everything to the board, to trash.
It's not a one-way tension where that single act is the cause of contention throughout the rest of the movie.
True.
The main center is the dad, and then he's got all the other forces acting on him. His friends, his social circle, his wife, his kid, and then the police.
Right.
And whoever this foreign force is who's assaulted his daughter.
Yeah, so it's more centered on, like you're saying, the dad. But it definitely has the other part. Because, again, we discussed this with the other movie. I forget his stupid name. But it was the Middle Eastern movie we recommended before. It's kind of like that same interaction. We tend to focus on these cases, the daughter, and we tend to focus on the family, how are they going to deal? But what about the person that's actually, it was the one involved in the act? So I think it's going to be great if you like big drama.
Yeah. No, very heavy. It's not one to take the kids to. It's not one that you're, it's not a date night movie at all.
It's not the Fate of Furious.
Oh, God. It's going to be another running joke. The Fate of the Furious.
Hashtag I hate of the Furious. Put it on Twitter, please. But yeah, that's so far. I mean, we have a few other ones that I didn't want really. The Circle is the other one. It's kind of big just because the cast. I'm not super interested, to be honest.
Tom Hanks, Emma Watson.
And John Boyega.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He's right. It's, I don't know.
I mean, the premise is kind of cool, but yeah.
We're a little late. We're a little late to this movie being made. Had this been made maybe 5 years ago, this would have been something that might have caught my attention, but we're already too far into where we are.
And it's already good movies that, go in that topic. So
Emma Watson gets accepted to a Google like company called The Circle.
The Circle.
That's all connected, but she slowly finds out that they're actually watching everybody and they're using a lot of the technology for not so good purposes.
I mean, if you want something a great movie sort of related to that part, like how it's managed, all these things, just go and watch The Social Network. I feel like it's...
Social Network or Snowden or something along the lines of government conspiracy or just connecting to others. He's right. There's way better movies that are doing it better. But again, we haven't seen it. Maybe so, it is great. Maybe there's something in it. Tom Hanks might use his charm.
Right. And the only reason sometimes we say this is because you can tell how it's going to go the movie sometimes with the trailer. Again, the trailer is in speculation because it's not showing you everything. But we're seeing this more and more where it seems like the studios are just really lame and just almost show you what's going to happen.
They want you to come to their movie. Yeah, yeah. And so they feel like they have to show you everything so that it entices you more. They think if they show you all this great stuff that you're...
Right.
You'll end up going to see their movie over the other movie that you were still on the fence about.
Exactly. So, I don't know. For some reason, I'm not a big fan of Emma Watson. I don't hate her at all.
I think she's gorgeous and she's a great actress.
Something, I don't know. Maybe it's just the roles that she's been choosing. I mean, to be honest, the only time I see her acting is Harry Potter. That's it.
She did wonderful. I mean, I think it's hard to be a child actor no matter what. Yeah. And the fact that she pulled off Hermione, one of the more complex Harry Potter characters, to a T was amazing. After Harry Potter, she had kind of a spotty track record. But I did enjoy her take as Belle's Beauty in Beauty and the Beast, this recent one.
You already watch it?
I saw it this week. Yeah. It wasn't terrible. It was exactly like your animated series.
Which I never liked of Beauty and the Beast, so... Yeah. Why I'm gonna, and it's fine if you like it.
It's actually one of the first movies I remember seeing as a kid, like in the theater. I remember seeing it with my family, and so it always kind of has a special little place in the songs. Yeah. But this movie doesn't disappoint. It doesn't blow my expectations out of the water, but
it's not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all.
No,
I see the other one that you have on there is a Spark.
A Spark, a space thriller, another animation movie. It's about a king monkey or something. You need to rescue his sort of town in this space or this planet, something like that. I mean, that's you know, if we were kind of really stretch all this information of the trailers, that's about that.
Yeah.
And the animation is nothing amazing at all.
Okay, so I watched, there's a huge long preview before Power Rangers for this movie, and it looks terrible.
Yes,
not even the kids in the movie theater were laughing at any of the jokes that were being said. That's a bad sign.
Yeah.
That's a terrible sign.
Like you say, now because technology is a little bit cheaper in that way, more studios can afford it. But then again, these Pixar and DreamWorks, you know, set the bar really high. So, it's like either you go to that high standard and try to come up with something like that, or you do something like Kubo, or it was another like for adults animation, Anomalia or something like that. It was an old couple. They did like clay animation.
Yeah.
So on that regard, when you do something more experimental like that, you forgive a little bit of technical aspect because it has a more deeper story.
Right, and this does not have any deeper story. It's what it looks like a Saturday morning kids cartoon extended to a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Jimmy Neutron, which came out in 2000,
looks
way better than this movie, and that's saying something. Yeah. That something that's almost 20 years old looks better than what's coming out in 2017. That's, to me, it's just sad. It's really sad.
Yeah.
But those are our movies that are coming out in April.
Yeah, and right now I didn't plan it, but because we have some time, I'm going to check what's coming on April for video games.
I can go ahead.
You have some.
Well, this is the hard part. As far as video games that are out, this isn't the video game season at all. So go ahead and kind of read the list that we've got.
It's one of the games that I hear a lot, never hear. Play it at all because I'm not super big fan of the what it used to be RPGs because now it's so much, you know, subgenres. But Persona, have you ever played it at all?
No.
I hear so much hype of this game. I think it's mostly on this is gonna be PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
Exclusive.
My PS3 is having some love after a few years. I'm gonna upgrade at some point, don't worry. But yeah, that's one of the big ones. If you're a big fan, you should be excited. And so far for some videos on YouTube, what I noticed, just kind of like these, it's kind of like Pokemon, but in a more mature setting. And instead of monsters, are kind of like spirits and ghosts. Sounds interesting. I mean,
yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, Pokemon, I think, because it has charm sometimes. At some periods in my life, I play it. I'm not a big fan. But these ones, like, I don't know. Kind of like, eh. Another one that's supposed to be released is Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition. Never heard about this
Bulletstorm is one of those. It's like if you took an 80s action movie and put it in a sci-fi game, including all the one cheesy liners and stuff and over, you know, masculated men. That's what this game is. So it's not supposed to be taken super serious. It's supposed to be really funny and over over dramatic. And so a lot of people either loved it or they never touched it. So
there you go. The other one that I know a lot of people have been talking about is Yooka-Laylee. So it's supposed to be a that's how they describe it on Polygon. Yooka-Laylee is a love letter to your best N64 memories. That's a big...
Oh, Yooka-Laylee. Yeah.
Yooka-Laylee. That's a big statement.
It's, to me, it's Banjo-Kazooie is what it is.
Right. That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah, it's straight up exactly the heyday of Rare. I'm really praying that it is. Yeah. It's as good as everybody kind of says it is. I loved Banjo-Kazooie and Conker's Bad Fur Day. Oh, anything Conker's that Rare used to put out, including GoldenEye.
Oh, GoldenEye. I spent so much time battling all my friends on GoldenEye.
So if this game is anything like that, I'm all in. I'm all in. All chips on deck. This is a great game to go get. But we'll see when it comes out.
Supposed to, at least on the mechanic side and the style, because obviously the graphic power is way better these days. But it seems like just from even this frame that I have here, a screenshot, looks like they keep all the mechanics and the style of the games. So hopefully. Another one is Full Throttle Remaster. I never played this game before. It's a remastered version, so probably it's gonna be something handsome. But I don't know about that game. So probably you don't know about that game anyway. Now the other one is Dragon Quest Heroes 2. I never I think I never played a Dragon Quest game.
Play Dragon Quest 8, and they're huge in Japan. They didn't really catch on here. It's because we're already kind of flooded with a lot of these types of games, and there's nothing too special. It's your classic RPG, turn-based.
I mean, I have nothing against those games. I know they're really popular. Just I'm not that patient, especially this time in my life. Like the fact that I think the problem is the turn-roll thing.
Yeah.
You wait, and then you do something, and then you wait again. So.
I mean, which are fine if you are big strategists, but I mean, if you play the game and you didn't train enough, you're going to get your ass kicked several times over, and it's not going to be fun. Another one, if you like Telltale games, Guardians of the Galaxy is coming out with their season.
Trailer.
Yeah. It's not bad. These are games that things like my wife enjoys.
Yeah.
You don't have to be great at video games. It kind of plays like an episode of watching something, like a TV show, only you get to make choices, and those choices follow you for 5 episodes. And if the series does really well, they'll make a season 2. But like my wife loved playing Telltale's Game of Thrones and Walking Dead. So you can pick and choose who you want to save, who you want to let die, and you'll always progress. There's no way you're losing.
Right.
But those choices follow you all the way, and you can kind of see how this plays out. So it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure.
Yes, it reminds me of those interactive books, and sometimes you have that kind of option, like, what you will do, and then, you know, can think. It's fine. I always say that it's like a take-a-dump video game, you know, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, you know, you're not
burn
wrong.
Some minutes and
you're not wrong.
Outlast 2 is coming out, too.
Yeah.
I didn't play the first one. I see some gameplay. Reminds me a little bit of Resident Evil 7.
Yeah.
Supposedly, these two is supposed to be more fucked up so much that Australia almost banned it, and they need to
Australia
remove so many things.
Everything.
Well, yeah, true.
Anything with an M rating, they're like, get it out of here. That makes us too violent.
Right.
It is a country that we used to export all of our criminals to. So,
yep.
Either way, I know that there's a port for Mario Kart 8 to the Nintendo Switch. So we're not getting a Mario Kart 9 for the Switch. We're getting a
port
of number 8.
I guess the only good thing is if you're an owner of the Switch and you never have a Wii U and you want to have the experience and also have all the DLC without paying the price of the DLCs, then that's your game. It's a really small margin right there.
That's a small, small margin.
But, I mean, that's the thing with the games of Nintendo. They're fun. I always have fun with Mark, especially if you play with somebody. If you play by yourself,
that's the key, though. It's when you play with somebody. Because the same thing happened with Overwatch. For any of you that do play, or you don't, you know, maybe that's okay. Yeah. Overwatch, I played it on a free weekend. It's an amazingly fun game. I can see why people really like it, but I was playing with my friends. The second my friends disappeared and it was just me in those matches, it got incredibly repetitive and boring as hell.
That's the thing. I don't know why that game is so popular. I mean,
I don't either.
Like you say, it's just once you're by yourself. And probably you can chat a little bit and stuff, but I don't know. I'd rather to have a good campaign game.
Right, and that's the thing. There's no story. Well, there is, but they're all in cutscenes.
Oh, well. Puyo Tetris, which I think is really popular on Japan. Again, Nintendo Switch and some PS4 love right there. I mean, Tetris is never going to get old.
Nope.
That's one of the games that my wife will play over and over and over. And she's good at it. That's what impressed me more.
And you know what? Yeah, Tetris is one of those games where it's universally understood. Yeah. Find the blocks where they go in. Make space.
For the Switch.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, yeah, we're bringing back like the old times of the Game Boy, because that was the game that you get with the Game Boy a long time ago. Well,
like with most entertainment, whether it's games or movies, we don't get a lot during February, March, or April as far as games. The Nintendo Switch completely tossed out the rule book and just released mid-March. So I don't know what they were thinking there, but usually this should be a period where nothing comes out. So that's why, you know, we're talking about it, but there's nothing that's really ringing a bell with anybody. We're not getting anything till closer to summer or holiday season.
As always.
The biggest thing we do have is that Mass Effect, which just came out. Breath of the Wild, yep. Those are our two big hitters for the spring.
Sniper Ghost Warrior 3. Never have played any Sniper. Just because, again, it's kind of boring.
It's a niche game, yeah.
Yeah,
you set up your shots, figure out drop distance of your bullet, and then the whole payoff is to watch it in slow motion.
Probably for you. You fall in love, bro. We'll love that.
Yeah, he almost... Yeah, Caroline was like, why don't you get him on the show? I'm like, no.
Actually, probably he don't need it. He actually do it in a way, so...
Yeah, in a ways, yes. My father-in-law will use his sniper rifle to kill things and his crossbow. Now he's moved on to crossbows because sniper rifles are too reliant and his ARs. No, he kills things with his bow and arrow.
He probably will like a Tomb Raider.
Oh, God. No, he plays as a woman. That's not fun. Sorry, Dave.
Siberia 3. I never heard about any Siberia game before. Siberia. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm just saying. It just seems... there's nothing.
I'm Mexican, so deal with that. I can't pronounce some things. You ever hear about this game at all?
No.
Yeah, it seems kind of like a... let me read really fast. So it launched in 2002, continue, blah, blah, blah. It seems you are an American lawyer, Kate Walker. She travels to a village in a mountain region of France to oversee the buyout of a toy factory, but her quest to find the rightful owners takes her across Central and Eastern Europe and eventually in Russia. We just need to survive to some sort of, I don't know, something. So it seems like a port for the Switch again.
Dang, that does not bode well.
Nope. Little Nightmares. Kind of like a scary game. More like a puzzle game. Like you say, Mario Kart. And that's it for that month. Not a lot. There are a few interesting ones, but...
Yeah.
But probably you're going to need to wait for summer and then, like you say, the big holiday season.
Right. We're coming up on E3, so again, most big games that are going to be announced will be waited for at the beginning of summer when E3 happens, the Electronic Arts Expo.
Right.
So, you know, if you're into games like I am, you keep your ear to the ground and you wait. I know the biggest news we had this week was Destiny 2 leaked.
Oh, yeah.
For Bungie. Love it or hate it, that game is a 10-year game. We're going into year 4, and so Destiny 2 is finally released. And I'm saying, as far as games go, that held me the entire 3 years that that game was out. And that's kind of scary. I mean, I would check in weekly to be like, hey, got to get all my stuff done. Got to check that box, that box. It became almost like a weird second job.
Yeah.
Scaring myself a little bit. But no other game has really done that to me. And that's, I don't know, it's kind of nice. It's kind of fun. Yeah. But again, it's another one of those games where it's a lot more fun when you have your friends on.
Yeah, probably.
By yourself, you can grind all you want, but if you want the good stuff, you got to have your friends.
Yeah, it's one of those. Well, I think that they're implementing that on the multiplayer more in new games, where you do campaigns or missions with your team is when you get the best rewards, I think.
Yeah, yep. Which is great. More collaboration, less competition.
There you go. That's the slogan, Microsoft and PlayStation.
So,
can steal it.
As we end always, Hugo, what's your recommendations as far as something to watch?
Movie, I will recommend to watch The Fly. It's a really old movie. You're watching?
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, yeah. It's I really like it a lot. Science fiction movie. I think it was a really iconic and cult movie to these days. In a way, sometimes I think they should make a remake, but other times, like, I don't know.
How funny would it be if they made a remake with Jeff Goldblum?
Somehow in there. Instead of using super like expensive effects, he's just gonna be like
old Jeff Goldblum.
I'm the Fly.
I come see it.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, you're gonna have fun. And if you never hear about this one, I mean, I will warn you that you shouldn't eat anything if you're a sensitive person. Because I think one time I was watching it when my wife was eating, like, what the fuck with you? Is there like some kind of yucky.
It's a metamorphosis film.
Yeah. Especially like the iconic one is when he's eating a donut and he, you know how flies eat food, right? So you can imagine on a big scale. But that's for my movies. For video games, I was thinking actually this afternoon what I'm going to say in the podcast for my recommendation for video games. On any of the arcade, well, not arcade. Well, yeah, they were arcade. The Ninja Turtles, what's it called, that genre?
So the side-scrollers.
Side-scrollers, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy so much. Not the original, the first one. That freaking game was really hard.
Which one are you talking about?
The one in NES. The really first one that was so awkward to play.
Yeah.
But the side-scrollers are so fun. And if you can make it with four players, even more. The gold.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Who would you pick? Who's the turtle
Leonardo,
you were?
Always.
You'd go for Leonardo? Okay, we could play just fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I'm always Donatello. But within my group of friends, it was like a madhouse dash to get to Donatello because he had the staff. He had the longest reach.
Yeah.
It was kind of like this weird little cheatsy thing. And so whoever could get to him first.
Right. Yeah, I used to have a... this is going to be kind of embarrassing a little bit. But when I was a kid, no matter what weird place I will go, I just have the plastic swords, just put them back in my shirts, and I will go to the store with my.
Dude, you never knew when the Foot Clan was gonna attack. Yeah, you had to have your Ninja Turtles.
I need to protect my family.
Of course.
Yeah, and I will spin on the ground even if I couldn't. My mom will get so pissed because she obviously cleaned all my clothes. I will come back with the back of my shirt all. Dirty and wrinkle.
That's how you know you were having fun. You weren't playing Ninja Turtles right if you weren't rolling around on the ground or getting absolutely messy.
Especially with white clothes. Can imagine how hard was that. Love you, Mom. But that's for the games. And TV shows, couldn't find anything recently. I'm still trying to... I guess Iron Fist, just if you want to finish the whole circle of the new Defenders...
Yeah.
It's not as bad as people say. It's not as good as the other three. So take it from a grain of salt.
Yeah.
What about you, Chris?
Movies. I really want to recommend a certain movie, but I have to save it.
You can. It's fine.
Okay. Then I'm going to recommend Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you've been following me since December and you've been hearing me kind of gripe about Power Rangers here, I'm here to tell you that I was pleasantly surprised, but I'm going to save everything I'm going to say for it for next week when we talk. We'll talk more about it in a little bit. But so I guess my other movie recommendation would be Girl on a Train.
Oh, yeah. I hear about that one. Yeah. It's in a, based on the book, right?
Yeah.
It gives me that, what's a girl's gone by for a little bit? No,
yeah, the Gone Girl.
Gone Girl, yeah.
Yeah, and that was that other Ben Affleck movie. But this one had Luke Evans in it. had everybody in it.
There you go.
It was a really good movie. I was trying to guess it most of the way through. I got it halfway through the movie. I could guess it. My wife hates this. And I'm so sorry that I spoil a lot of movies for you. I was about 90%, 98% right. I missed one little tiny detail when I tried guessing for it. But it was still a great movie. It was. Yeah. It left me with a sickening feeling in my stomach. So point got across perfectly. I don't know. Yeah, nice. if you wanted to and you were on the fence about it, go for it. Amazing little movie to watch. Could be a date night movie, all by yourself movie. It's an all around versatile one. A
touchy movie. Just do it by yourself, please.
What is it? Video games. I'm gonna go ahead and recommend Mass Effect Andromeda.
I know it.
Yeah, that's the one I was playing this week. Multiplayer with my buddies.
Right.
A lot of fun. Very addictive. To be in your squads. No competitive play, all cooperative, which is great.
Right.
You go around, you just have to survive 7 waves. Gears of War did something similar. Other than that, TV show, the only one I really watched was Iron Fist, so I'm going to go along with Hugo and say that nowhere near as bad as everybody made it seem.
Right.
It starts kind of slow and then builds. I like the side character more than I like the main character.
He sounds like a brat kid. Like, just mom, I want a sandwich. It's like, I'm just the Iron Fist. And like, do something, dude. It's just don't yell, you're the Iron Fist.
He seems like Danny Rand seems like he's a pretty level headed guy, and
he loses.
He loses his shit like on the drop of hat, and then he'll compose himself.
But it's not like a cool I'm losing it. It's just more like I said, like a kid, like, you know.
I mean, I can understand too. He was a kid when he was taken, but he was in for 15 years. He was in a monk monastery getting the crap beat out of him.
Can you imagine like Christian Bale just yelling like that? Just I'm Batman.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Like,
can't see me, but I'm so dejected right now. There's so much potential for this series. Mm-hmm. Hugo's right. It's nowhere near as good as the other three. I'm thinking that they didn't give away too much because they're saving the bigger plot for the Defenders. Yeah. And so they couldn't really go into a lot of what makes the Iron Fist quite yet.
Yeah.
So I think we'll get a much stronger Danny Rand.
Hopefully.
He might, for me, be a little bit more like the Hulk. Where he's better on a team than he is by himself. You watch any Hulk movie and you're not too interested in it.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm excited for Defenders, but that's my TV pick right now.
All right, my people. This week, finally, we make it shorter. Finally. I mean, I guess it depends on the flow.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't have time to watch the whole thing, the magic of the app is you can pause it and then continue another day or something. You don't need to hear the whole thing once it. But we appreciate if we leave some reviews. So far, so no review. And that shirt is just sitting right there in the corner.
So for this week, if you hear this and you want that shirt, just put
a comment.
Put the phrase Diego Luna somewhere in your review. And we'll know that you listened to this current week. And
you're going to get that shirt. Exclusive. Believe me, in a couple of years, that thing's going to, you know, be super valuable.
It will be.
Yeah.
By the way,
Diego Luna is going to be the next Green Ranger.
Oh, no, don't. Okay, yeah, so next week, Hugo and I are going to talk about Ghost in the Shell and Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. We watched those.
I contained myself.
Yeah, I mean, Scarlett, you're handsome. Can you imagine? It's kind of like, no, I'm not going to make that joke. A lot of people's going to get so
His wife just told him she listens.
Mad.
My wife hates Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, no, not about that. It will be like, well, considering how sensitive people is these days, some people will say it will be a sexist joke. I'm going to save it so people don't get hurt.
So just as a few forewarning, it will be a spoiler cast again, just like we did with Logan and Split.
Yes.
So make sure if you want to listen, you're all caught up.
Yeah, you don't want to have that feeling, you know, when somebody give you anal sex, but they don't tell you.
Oh, fuck.
So it's kind of like that. Like, oh, it's there. Oh, it's a spoiler. So you get, you know, warned on this podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. Nope. Yep. You put it into words. All very, right. very abrasive words.
Anyways, you see, I trained the other joke for this one, so this is a give it a take thing.
It is a give and take. I'm just going to say hashtag Halos, and we're going to keep that going. Have a lot of sex.
Yes, a lot. But, you know, be careful. You don't want all the nasty stuff.
That's why you got to shower.
You know, you don't want juices all over your body. Anyways, have a great week, people. And as always,
adios.